And take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, and we'll read from chapter 14, verses 8 through 22 this evening. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 22, if you'll follow along. And of course, do take this opportunity, if you have to have your cell phone with you, if you please turn the volume down, at least to vibrate if you cannot turn it off. We'd hate to have any disruptions during the preaching hour, and we'd greatly appreciate that. It's good, Brother Eric. Amen. Are we there in Acts chapter 14?
Amen.
All right. Verse 8, the Bible says, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on thy feet.' And he leapt and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which, when the apostles, Barnabas and Saul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and all the things that are therein, who in times past had suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained the people, that they had done, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and from Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for meeting with us in a special way this morning. Lord, thank you for the fellowship that you gave us this afternoon. But I just pray now, as we hear your word preached, that you'd help us to listen with, Lord, attentive hearts and ears, Lord, to hear. And I pray that you'd speak to us in a special way again this evening, Lord. I just pray that you'd meet the needs of our people tonight. Father, if there be any here don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that you'd, Lord, draw them to yourself tonight. I pray that they'd get that matter settled. Lord, they know they have an eternal home in heaven with you, Father. We just thank you for how good you are to us, and we'll praise you for what's done tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Now, sometimes God brings us through difficult times in our life and allows that just so that we see how close he is to us through those times. And when everything's good, I don't have to rely on God a lot of times. We should, but when everything's going well, I just kind of float through, and God brings all of a sudden a bump in the road, and it makes me depend on him, and man, I really appreciate him when that happens. I appreciate Miss Sarah, appreciate the Schroeders, and their service to the Lord here, and they're a blessing, and wonderful, wonderful young couple there. If you don't know them, you ought to get to know them. Wonderful couple. Are we on? I feel like I don't have volume. Are we on? Can you hear me in the back? Can you hear that? You guys must be asleep out there. I'm not getting any reaction or anything. Help me. Help me. Acts chapter 14. Are we in our Bibles tonight? Acts chapter 14. If you'll allow me to, I just want to share something. It's on my heart a little bit tonight, and I don't think we'll be long tonight, but want to share something with you. Acts chapter 14. I was reading the other day in my Bible, came across this portion of Scripture with Paul, and it really stuck out at me. The toughness. It amazes me the toughness that God's people had in the Bible. The toughness. You go all the way back. Noah. Noah built the ark. By hand, as far as we know, ark big enough to put two of each kind of animal on board that ark. That's a pretty massive undertaking right there. A tough guy. As people mock and laugh at him, he continues in the work. Read about Abraham and Sarah. Nomads traveling the wilderness. That was a whole life. They just traveled in their tent. Wilderness here, wilderness there, desert area here. Tough people. You ever live in a tent before? We have some people that have lived in a tent before. It's tough work to live in a tent. You don't have a home. Tough people. Jacob, being deceived by his father-in-law multiple times, deceived to the point where he switched out wives on him. Yeah, it takes toughness sometimes going through what you go through. I read about David hiding out in the caves and in the mountains as Saul pursues him. And then he goes back to that after he's been king for a number of years when his son Absalom chases him. Tough, tough, thick skin. I read of Jesus Christ, the preeminent example. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, the Bible says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be worried and faint in your minds. He says, hey, look at Christ, lest you get worried, lest you give up. Look at how he endured. Tough. We have a tough Savior, amen? I'm glad that we have, so they paint this picture of Jesus as some effeminate, long-haired, wimpy. He was not that way. Let me correct us tonight. He was a man of strength. He was a man of toughness. I'm glad that we have a tough, manly Savior that went through a lot, but he endured it for you and I. And then I read of Paul. And through the epistles, you read what Paul went through, the perils, trials often. I've come to the conclusion that God's people were not wimps. Amen? Have you came to that conclusion before reading your Bible? God's people were not wimps. They had to go through some things in life. They had to learn to have some tough skin. They had to learn to just bear down, to grit their teeth and go through whatever battle that they were going through. And then you continue to read about the martyrs of the early church. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Christian, if you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, I'd encourage you, get that book and read it. Read through what your forefathers went through so that we can sit down in a pew today and open up our Bibles and be able to read God's Word. Read through what people have gone through, that they have sacrificed their lives so that we might have the Word of God, that we might have a church to go through. Toughness. We can always bear more than we think we can. I've heard the statement before, go as far as you think you can possibly go and then take 20 more steps. I think they use that in one of the branches of military. They tell their men, go as far as you think you can and then go 20 steps more. Because you think it's all over, I can't do any more, but there's a little bit more always left in us. I tell our basketball players when I coach, hey, I want 110%. I want you to give 100%, and then I want you to give a little bit more after that 100%. I want some toughness from you. And I believe, Christian, I believe God wants some toughness from you and I. He wants us to get everything and then give a little bit more and hang in there and tough it out. Upon reading this account of Paul in Acts chapter 14, it hit me. It hit me the toughness that Paul had to have in life. In our homes, in our churches, in Christianity today, we need this toughness. We need this toughness to where we have some tough skin. We go through a battle, we go through a hard time, and we're willing to tough it out, we're willing to stick in there, we're willing to keep going for the cause of Christ in our life. My dad used to tell me often, something would happen, tough it out, boy. And something would happen at school, and I'd start complaining about it. Tough it out. Grow up. I'd get hurt. I remember one time, we were playing baseball this afternoon. I remember one time, Brother Kevin, my dad hit a ball to me, and I was not the greatest catch. I told him this afternoon. They said, oh, pastor's up to bat. I said, no, I was a kid out in the outfield playing with dandelions during Little League. Don't expect great things. I love basketball. I love football. Baseball was not my sport. And he's hitting balls out there. As a 12-year-old boy, he hits a pop fly. And I'm going to catch a pop fly. Yeah, you know what happens. I get my mitt up there, and it's going right into the mitt, right? My mitt grew a hole between the time that the ball was hit and the time it was supposed to enter my mitt. Right through my glove, I swear. Right through the glove, into my eye. Nice big shiner there. And I'm sitting there holding my eye, and my dad says, tough it up, boy. Tough it up. Sometimes we need some toughness. Some of your moms are shaking their head. Your boy needs toughness. Toughness. We need toughness in this day and time. I remember going to football camp. I love taking our boys to football camp. I went to football camp and I had a coach. I was a running back on the team. And I was the main running back. And during that week, I pulled my quad. It hurt. It hurt. And one of the games, Brother John, I think you were there with me. And we were playing on the same team. And I said, coach, my leg hurts. I can't run anymore. He said, tough it out and finish this last game. Tough it out. You men ought to have some stories where you toughed it out. You didn't quit and give up because you got a little bit of pain. You stuck in there. And Christian, you're going to need some stories in life. Pain's going to come your way. That's just part of it. Paul says that. Look at what Paul says in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. He went back to the church. Now, we'll get into the story here. But he went back to the church, back to Iconium, the same place where he was stoned. And look at what he says. He says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You know what Paul said right there? You're going to go through difficult times. You're going to get beat up. You're going to get knocked around. You're going to get pushed on your face. And that's just how it's going to be. Through much tribulation, you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. It's going to take some toughness. So I'm going to preach tonight a message entitled, Tough It Out. Hey, Christian, tough it out. Tough it out in life. Don't be a wimp in life. Don't quit when the going gets tough. Tough it out. Let's bow for a word of prayer. We'll get into the message. Lord, I'd ask that you please bless tonight. I need your help. Lord, we see these examples that you've given us in your word. And, of course, the example of Christ, the toughness there. And I'd ask that you would please work in our hearts and challenge us in this area. May we have a desire, Lord, to stick through it. There's going to come tough times. And even tonight, I think about some of our folks and the tough times that people are going through even tonight. And I'd ask that you please work in our hearts. Help us to determine that we're going to tough it out through thick and thin. We're just going to hang in there. We're going to push on because we have a Savior that did for us. Because there's a need. There's a cause. Lord, I'd ask that you please bless the message. Speak to our hearts. May we make decisions for you this night. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We live in a day of fragile people. Fragile people. You ever been in a China shop before? We take my girls in one of these places where it's all glass around. Oh man, devastation. 3.5-year-old girls in a China shop is no good. Don't touch anything, all right? Don't even move your hands. But why? Everything's so breakable. It's fragile. We live in a day and time with fragile people. People are so breakable. Just one poke and they're broken. They get upset. They get offended. I'm quitting. People are fragile in today's day and time. I don't believe that we could fight another World War II if this country had to. You know why? Because I don't believe we have the same quality men that we had during those days. You look at the society that we live in today, I can't see the men of today's society going off overseas and doing what they did back in that day. I'm sorry, I just can't see it. We don't have the same toughness as we once did in this country. And I think society has developed that. That's the fault of our own society. I don't think God has changed anything down here on this earth. I think we've just gotten used to the luxuries of life and living it good, and we don't want to be uncomfortable in our lives anymore. I think one of the reasons that we have all these crazy shootings, pardon me, my shoe's untied. I don't want to trip and fall. I might break. I'm fragile. One of the reasons we have all these shootings, I believe, is because of the coddling that goes on to these kids. Well, express your feelings, whatever you're feeling, just let it out. And then we're surprised when a kid has some feelings of hatred and he goes and lets it off at the school. I mean, help me out. If you coddle a kid, it's going to end up affecting a kid in a negative way. Hey, can I say, parents, you better be careful about coddling your kid all the time. Your kid gets in trouble, oh, it's okay, Junior. Kid gets hurt, oh, it's okay. There's sometimes it's okay for them to get hurt a little bit. There's sometimes it's okay for them to get in trouble. Hey, and they weren't even wrong. It's okay. You know why? Because they need to toughen it up a little bit. Amen, young people? Amen. Some of the reason that we're having all these pains and difficulties today is because many times we just coddle our kids. We make them soft. There was, I just read it, Brother John sent me something the other day. A church member walked inside the church house, shot a guy in church for the guy taking his seat. Help us! What in the world? I hope nobody's stealing anybody's seat tonight. What have we come to where we're so thin-skinned that somebody takes my seat, I get offended to the point where I'm going to shoot the guy? And that's the generation that we live in today. Part of the problem is they just need to grow some thick skin. You know, bullying has always been a problem. I'm sorry, back when you were in school, there was nobody that ever made fun of any other kids, right? Oh, wait, no, there was. Why is it such a difference now? Stop the bullying. I understand, I don't want another kid to bully another kid. The kid needs to take a paddle to his rear end. But we coddle our kids so much, and we end up with wimpy men, we end up with a wimpy society, we end up with wimpy women. Woman is a weaker vessel, but she ought to have some toughness about her. She's going to be a proper mom. She needs some toughness. We must be so careful. People are so fragile today. People give up or get mad at the slightest things in today's day and time. Well, I don't feel real good. I got a hangnail today. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to work. I don't think I can make it to church, Pastor. The whole family's at home coddling the one kid that has the coughs. But that's just the day that we live in. I don't feel good, so I'm just not going to do it. What happened to the days where it's crawling instead of calling? You don't hear about that anymore. Oh, I got 3 sick days left. I got to use them. It's December 28th, 8th. I got to hurry up and get all these sick. Oh, what happened to the days? I'm just going to show up. I'm going to make sure that I'm there. We get offended so easily. Well, we were mistreated. Well, that happens. We were treated unfairly. Junior wasn't treated fairly. Nobody came and checked on me when I was sick. Hold on a second. How many times have you went and checked on somebody else when they were sick? We get so offended. You see what I'm saying? We get so offended about the silliest, slightest little things that come up in our lives because we're thin-skinned. We're fragile. I look at Paul, man, I just don't see that being the case. Well, things didn't go our way. We didn't get what we were wanting. We didn't get what we were hoping. Every Christian home has a lot of our Christian homes have adopted the victim mentality of the world. Hey, everybody feels sorry for me. Woe is me. And that ought not be the case. Tough it out. Hey, Christian, learn to tough it out. Learn to tough it out in your home. Learn to tough it out in your marriage. Learn to tough it out in your ministry. Tough it out in your church. 1 Corinthians, turn over there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I don't know. I have a feeling that Paul enjoyed sports. You read through his epistles. He was constantly talking about different sports. Boxing, running a race, beating the air. He was just always talking about something related with sports. And he was talking about being tough quite a bit of the time too. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. Are y'all there? Look at what the Bible says. He says, watch ye. He says, stand fast in the faith. That means don't move. He says, quit you like men. Now let me help you out. That doesn't mean quit being men. That's not what he's saying there. What does that word quit mean? It means to do or perform. He says, hey, catch this, man. He says, do or perform the work of a man. Hey, get in there and tough it out. Don't quit. Stand fast. Stay in the fight. Have some strength. Have some ability to endure. Be sound and solid. Ephesians chapter 6, turn over there. The wealth warfare of the Christians described here in Ephesians chapter 6. I just want to show you what the Bible says about this matter of toughness. I'm telling you, we live in a weak society, and I don't believe that is God's doing. I believe that the devil is fighting what God wants in our homes and in our churches. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Look at what he says here, talking about this warfare that we're in. He says, finally, in conclusion, let me finish with this. My brethren, be what? Be strong. Hey, Christian, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Christian is going to have to be strong in this fight. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. We see Joshua taking over for Moses. I can't imagine. I would not want to be in Joshua's shoes. I'll just say that plainly. Can you imagine? Moses is leading these grumbling, complaining people that are stubborn and hard-headed for 40 years in a desert. 2 million of them, at least, from what they calculate. And all of a sudden, Joshua now is going to be taking the reins for Moses. What big shoes to fill, but what complaining people to lead as well. Not me. Don't choose me, God. Please. And Joshua says, okay, I'll take it. Like we talked about this morning, he took the opportunity before. I'll take it. And look at what God says. I have no doubt, leading these type of people into war, into combat, Joshua has to be scared out of his mind. We think of these people as superheroes, and in essence, yeah, they are our heroes, they should be. But they're normal, everyday Joes like you and I. There's nothing special about these guys. They're like you and I. And God continued to remind Joshua, hey, be strong and of good courage. In fact, verse number 9, it says, have not I commanded thee, talking to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. In fact, you read through it 6 times, God told Joshua, hey, Joshua, be strong. Hey, Joshua, have courage. Hey, Joshua, you're going to have to be valiant out there. Hey, Joshua, you're not going to be able to give up. You're going to have to stick in there. This fragility we see in Christianity and in our homes and in our churches is not of the Lord. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. God's not developed this fragility that's going on. He wants something sound. He wants something stable. He just wants something that's going to last throughout the time. This weak and touchy-feely philosophy, I believe, is an attack from the devil on our churches and our families to weaken the structure that God has set up. The Bible says, for the time shall come, well, they will not endure sound doctrine. Why won't they endure sound doctrine? Because they're too immature, because they're too thin-skinned, they don't want to hear it. We live in a day and time, if a pastor preaches on our dress standards, on our music standards, on specifics in our life where it really hits home, We get mad and we walk out. They won't endure sound doctrine. I don't want to hear that. If you get on my life, I don't want to hear that type of preaching. We have people come in all the time. Hey, I love you. The church is great. But, you know, you preach on this, so we're not going to continue to come. All the time. Well, they won't endure sound doctrine. It's a thin-skinned thing. Hey, can I say, Christian, don't be thin-skinned in your life. Don't be too immature to stay through and stick it out when it gets tough in your life. The Christian home needs some toughness. Hey, Dad, let me say you need some toughness, Dad. Dad needs some toughness to stand against wickedness in his home. To make sure that he pushes out the bad influences and doesn't let them in. The dad needs some toughness to say, hey, we're not watching that type of TV. Hey, we're not listening to that type of music. Daughter, you're not dressing like that. Wife, you're not dressing like that. Hey, we're not having that type of attitude. Some toughness. Dad needs some toughness in the home. He needs some toughness to stay in the home when times are tough. Sir, when times get tough, it's not time to walk out on your wife. God help you. It's not time to walk out on the family. It's time to be tough and to stick in there. Yeah, there's going to be tough times. What, you thought when you got married it's going to be a honeymoon the rest of your life? Absolutely not. There's going to be some tough times. Some dads need some toughness to say, I'm going to stick in there when it gets tough. Toughness to make tough decisions. To do what's right. Sometimes it's hard to do what's right for the family when all the family doesn't understand that that's right. You ever been in that position before, sir? You have to say, hey, family, we're doing this, and the whole family doesn't see how that is all going to work out. But you see, as the head of the home, this is what we need to do if we're going to follow the Lord. It takes toughness. Can I say, Dad, you need to teach your family toughness. Teach your kids. Life's not going to be easy. Teach them, hey, you're going to have to be tough in life. John Wayne said this. I don't make a habit of quoting John Wayne, but I thought it was good. Life is tough, and tougher if you're stupid. And that's the truth there. Hey, teach your kids that life is tough. They're going to have to grow some thick skin. They're not going to be able to whine about everything. They're not going to be able to complain about everything. They're not going to be able to run home to mom and dad after they get married. Can I say, don't let your kids run home to you after they get married and leave the house every time there's a fight in the house, at their house. That's not your place to be referee. They need to work it out. Amen. Mom needs some toughness. Some toughness to teach and train her children what is right. Hey, it takes some toughness to be consistent, mothers. To continue to say, hey, no, that's not right. No, that's not right. No, that's not right. Sometimes it's like beating your head against the wall. Am I getting anywhere? Am I getting anywhere? It takes some toughness. It takes some toughness to follow her husband as her husband follows God. To trust, hey, he's going to go the right way with this. It takes some toughness to uphold the rules in the home when dad is away. Can I say, ma'am, you devastate your home if when dad's away, you drop all the rules that dad sets up in the home. Well, dad's not in the home, so we can go ahead and let some things slide. You just devastated your kids. You just disrespected the authorities in their life completely. Your kids are going to grow up and have no respect for any authority that they have because you're teaching them now, when the authority's away, the mice can play. Hey, take some toughness to keep the rules in your home, even when dad's not around to enforce them, and have to enforce them anyways. Be tough, mothers. Be tough. We live in a day and a time where we're willing to slide around and blow around with every wind of doctrine. Be tough in there. A Junior and Susie need some toughness. Toughness to take rebuke, amen? Hey, young people, you need some toughness to take some rebuke. Every now and then, mom and dad need to get after you. Be tough and take it. Every now and then a teacher has to get after you. A youth pastor has to get after you. Take it. Be tough. Proverbs chapter 31 or 13 verse 1 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth it not. He heareth not rebuke. You know what a wise son does? He listens to when he's rebuked. He says, okay, I can correct that. You know what a fool does? Mom and dad, what do they know? What do they know about my life? That's a fool right there. Hey, it takes some toughness, though, to take rebuke. Adults, you ever like getting rebuked at work? Getting scowled and yelled at? Absolutely not. It takes some toughness to take rebuke. And young people, you're going to need that toughness. It takes toughness to follow dad and mom when you have to take a stand. Hey, you ever have a time at school where all the rest of the kids are doing this? And you know you're supposed to be doing that? It takes some toughness to take a stand. Even in your Christian school, it takes some toughness to take a stand when kids are not doing right and you know you're supposed to. Hey, do you have that toughness? or do you just bend with whatever everybody's doing? It takes toughness to do right when no one else is watching. It's just you. You're home by yourself. You have that temptation on the computer. You have that temptation on the CD player, on the TV. It takes toughness to do right when nobody else is watching. You don't think you're going to be caught. Hey, be tough. Don't give in to the temptation to the flesh. It takes toughness to keep them, young people, for them to keep themselves pure and their relationship right. Let me spend a second here, young people. It takes some toughness to say, I'm going to keep myself pure for my spouse one day. We live in a generation, in a time, a society that is focused on immorality. They're focused on giving away the body. They're focused on showing off more. They're focused on giving away more. Can I say, young people, it takes toughness to say, I'm not going to give myself away. I'm going to keep myself pure. You might get some funny looks from the world. You might get some funny looks from your friend. But I have zero respect for a young man that doesn't have enough respect to keep his hands off a girl. Hey, unless you got a wedding ring on, she's not yours, Buster. You have no business with your hands on her. I said your hands. It starts with the hand. I don't care. Holding hands. Well, it's just holding hands. I go back to what Paul said. I'm sorry, Bible still works for me. 1 Timothy chapter 7, verse 1. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Can I say, parents, you give them an inch, a kid's going to take a mile. You start holding hands, where do you cross the line? Well, they're just cuddling a little bit, yeah? Okay, you're going to stop them at necking? You can let them continue to progress? Where do you draw the line? You've got to draw a line somewhere. And I have zero respect for a man, well, so-called a man, that lays his hands on a young lady that is not his. Where's your respect for her dad? Where is your respect for her? Where is your respect for yourself? Where is your respect for your God? Hey, it takes some toughness to say, no, I know the flesh wants to, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep myself right. I'm going to keep myself pure. Hey, young ladies, it takes some toughness to look at that Buster and say, hey, you want to touch me? You're going to receive a slap in the face with my shoe right here. Hey, young ladies, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking off that shoe and say, you want to get near me? Whack. And you ought to. Get that purse out. Get some weights in those purses. Hey, Dad, go home and get some weights in that purse for your daughter. Get some weight in there. So really, pull a David. Only not a sling, a purse. It takes some toughness, though. You're going to keep yourself right in today's day and time. I believe every young person ought to work extremely hard and have every intention to come to this altar pure for their spouse. And there's no reason that they can't. It just takes some toughness. You see, we're living in a day where we're not tough anymore. We give in to every whim. We need some toughness in our homes. We need some toughness in our churches. Toughness for the pastors to stay and fight when the going gets tough. Toughness for church members to stay and fight when the going gets tough. Hey, there's going to come times at Bible Baptist Church where it's going to get tough. You understand that, right? Hey, I love when things are going well. I love when everything's smooth sailing. But it's not always like that. You read in Acts where Euryclodon came along as Paul is on that ship traveling and they're trying to get to Rome. There's going to come some times where the Euryclodon is going to come in this church's life. It's not time to bail out at that point in time for the pastor or for the church member. Well, everybody else is leaving. Well, why don't you just stick in there? Why don't you just stay at it? Why don't you decide, hey, I'm going to tough it out. I thank God for the members that we have in our church that have toughed it out. Toughed it out. Just hunker down and you stay in there. There's good times, there's bad times, but you just decide, I'm going to stick through it. Tough it out. Tough it out in your church. Toughness to keep serving in your ministry when things are hard. There's times when it's hard to serve. Tough it out. Toughness to not leave when you're offended or things don't go your way. You ever get offended at church? I've got offended at people at church. Well, how dare they do that to me? Why don't you grow some toughness? Decide, hey, that's not going to make me leave. Somebody doing something, somebody saying something, not going to make me leave. I can have thicker skin than that. I look at Paul. Paul in this passage of Scripture has got getting rocks thrown at him. He didn't leave. Surely I could take a word or two. Toughness. Toughness. Toughness to stay faithful when the devil's fighting you for all he's worth. Man, there's just sometimes it seems like, man, the devil is going at it. Jab here, jab here, jab, man, uppercut there, and the devil's just going at it in my life. Toughness to stay faithful in the house of God when the devil's really trying to get me down and really trying to destroy my life. It's tough. I see people quit. I see people get offended. I see people throw the pity party and woe is me. I need everybody's sympathy. And then I see Paul. I see Paul here. Can I challenge us? Can you look at Paul's life tonight and let it challenge you? Can you look at Paul's life tonight and let it give you a little bit of inspiration in your Christian life? Paul's life is evidence that things always won't be smooth sailing. He goes through shipwrecks, goes through imprisonments, goes through beatings. Look at the story in Acts chapter 14. Beginning of Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas, they're preaching in a city called Iconium. And man, revival's breaking out. They saw a multitude of people saved there. Man, God's working in the preaching that's going on. Of course, there's always people that are scoffers. The unbelieving Jews, the ones that didn't accept what Paul was preaching, get mad, and they decide, hey, we're going to turn everybody on Paul. We're going to get Paul and Barnabas kicked out of here. And so they stir up a multitude, and they begin to threaten to kill or to do destruction, to assault Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas get wind of it. And we see that going on in this chapter. And so they move out of Iconium there, and they move on to Lystra. In Lystra there, Paul sees a man that was lame, the Bible says. He's lame in his feet. He can't walk. Paul heals the man. All of a sudden, the whole city says, wow, look at that. This guy just healed the man. He must be a god. And the Bible says they get to the point where they're about to do sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas because they believe that they're gods sent down from above. And Paul says, hey, hold on a second. We're not gods. We came to preach the living and true God. I love what he puts in there because he describes, there's just too much proof that there's a living God. He goes through it. You look at nature, and there's no way you can deny that a God exists. I still don't understand, and I never will, how somebody can say straight to you, I don't believe there's a God, and mean it in their heart. Man, you're a fool because you're just ignoring the fact of what's blatantly there. A couple weeks ago, I'm an atheist. I don't go to church. You're a fool. And you're just a fool. It's so blatant that we have a God. It's so blatant that He exists. You look at the nature itself. You look at the stars in the sky. You look at the seas. There's no way all that can exist without a creator. And he begins to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, pick it up in verse 18 here. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they, the people, that they had not done sacrifice in them. So we're not going to do sacrifice to you. We understand. They begin to accept it. But something happens. Verse 19. There are certain Jews from Antioch in Iconium, where they were just at, those unbelieving Jews, who persuaded the people. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. They get this multitude, and they persuade the people, instead of you worshiping these people, let's stone these people. Oh, okay, let's go ahead and stone them. And they begin stoning him. And the Bible says they dragged Paul out of the city here and left him for dead. Verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe in order to preach again. Paul is stoned to the point of death here. They thought he was dead. I'm sure the kids are around sitting there poking him with sticks trying to see if he moved anymore. That's how dead he looked. And the Bible says here, he gets back up. He toughs it out. He walks back to the city. And then he goes on his way preaching again. Man, we're in need of some people like Paul. The slightest thing doesn't hinder them. They stick in it and say, hey, there's more to do. We're in need of parents that are going to tough it out like Paul. We're in need of some teenagers that in their life they're going to tough it out like Paul. Pay attention, teenagers, now. We're in need of some Christians that are going to tough it out like Paul decided, I'm going to tough it out. We see in Paul's life that there's times when I need to tough it out. Let me give you a few things. We'll go to the house. Number one, there are times to be tough to be alone. There are times to be tough in order to be alone. As Paul is trying to teach the people of Lystra and give them the gospel, what happened? The unbelieving Jews here from Iconium show up. We see that. Verse number 19. There came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. They turned the city of Lystra from praising Paul to now all of a sudden persecuting Paul. How easily people are persuaded. I read the story of Jesus Christ when he was going into Jerusalem on that donkey, and the people are laying down the palm trees. Hosanna, Son of the Highest. And they're praising Jesus. The same people in Jerusalem, then a few chapters later, They're standing up saying, crucify him, crucify him, let his blood be upon us and our children. How easily people are persuaded in what they do. Hey, Christian, can I say you better be careful how easily you're persuaded? Don't just go with the flow. Too many times people just go with the flow. Whatever everybody else is saying, we'll go along with it. That's why we have all this nonsense with the 1% and all those other groups out there. What was that? I forget. That last election had all those people camping outside places because they had nothing better to do. What was it? What were those groups called? Help me out. Occupy, the Occupy movement. Because they don't have a job, they're going to occupy something else. They just follow the crowd. Most of the time, they have no idea what they're doing. They just show up. Hey, everybody else is doing it. Hey, you better be careful about just following the crowd. But these people are persuaded easily. Can I ask you, how easily are you persuaded? Coworkers tell you, oh, well, you don't deserve to put up with your spouse like that. You know what? They're right. Are you that easily persuaded that you just follow whatever everybody else is doing? A church member shows plants discord in your mind, sows seeds of discord in the church. Oh, yeah, you know what? Maybe there's something to that. Are you easily persuaded? How quick a person can go from having your back one minute to stabbing you in the back the next minute. That's just truth. I understand there'll be times when you need to stand fast and you're going to end up alone. Paul is here. He has these people praising him. He says, hey, don't do sacrifice to me. Okay, we won't do sacrifice to you. And now all of a sudden he has the whole city against him. How quick the tables change. And all of a sudden Paul is by here, by himself, and it's all alone. Everybody's against me now. Hey, Christian, there's going to come times in our life when it's just me, when I'm all alone, me and God. There's nobody else standing beside me. I'm going to have to be tough during those times. I'm going to have to decide. I'm not going to quit and give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. If it's just me and God, I'm going to stick with it in my life. Toughness to stand alone. When the crowd turns the other way, the Christian will need to be tough and stay true to the book. Hey, don't compromise on this book right here just because you're the only one. I don't care if it's me and my wife. I'm going to stand true to this book. It's that time to compromise. Amen, Christian? It's time to be tough. Be tough, even if you're alone in your toughness. When the crowd turned against Paul, Paul had to tough it out. He had to stand fast. He couldn't change his preaching. He couldn't just hush up. He had to preach on. Many times what is true is not popular, and what is popular is not true. That's just the case. Teenagers, most of the time in your life, what's popular with everybody else is not the way you need to be going. And so you're just going to have to learn now. I'm going to have to stand up and stand alone if it so be. Though no one join me, still I will follow. You know that song? I don't care if nobody joins me. I'm still going to follow Christ in my life. Hey, those standards are not popular with my friends. We're going to still have standards in my home. Hey, though this church is not popular with my family, I'm still going to stand on a church that preaches it right. Hey, though other homes and kids might be watching this and doing that and letting their kids participate in the junk and filth of this world, I don't care. I'm going to still take a stand and say, hey, kids, we're not doing that around our home. Some toughness. It takes some toughness to stand alone. Your kids ever going to come home and tell you, hey, all the other kids are doing it though, Mom? Your kids ever tell you that before? It's not time to say, oh, well, if everybody else is doing it, you go ahead. That sounds fine then. No, it's time to be tough and say, I don't care if everybody's doing it. We're not doing that. Some toughness. Don't bend under the pressure. Don't cave in to persuasion. Sometimes we think that we need a support group of 15 people in order to keep on going. Kind of like ladies to the restroom, right? We all got to get up and stand and hold hands and go to the restroom. Hey, you don't need a support group to stand up for Christ. You don't need a support group to do right in your home. You don't need a support group at work to do what's right. You don't need a support group in your school to do what's right. Just decide I'm going to tough it out if it's just me, myself, and I. I read the story about David. And at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 30, David goes home to Ziklag, him and his men. They were going to go out to war with the Philistines. They're called back home. And when they get back, they realize the Amalekites had destroyed their city, burnt it all up, and had taken the women and children captive. They have nothing left. And the Bible talks about how the men there were grieved, and they're discouraged, and David's discouraged as well. And the men are so grieved that they speak of stoning David. Now let me say here, I don't believe these are bad men, these are discouraged men. Sometimes people that are discouraged do some crazy things. They get discouragement in their mind, and they make some rash decisions or some rash threats. And they're discouraged men here. They said, well, it's Stone David. And so David's down in the dumps at this point. Man, what do? My wives are gone. My kids are gone. All that I have is gone. My men are turning at me. I'm all alone. There's nobody else that I can say, hey, encourage me, would you? So where does David go for help? Oh, look at, well, you're not there. Let me read it for you. David was greatly distressed when the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David, catches, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know where he found his toughness? You know where he found his strength? It wasn't in a buddy that patted him on the back. It wasn't necessarily even a pastor that said, hey, keep on going. And thank God for a pastor that will do that, but that's not always there. It was, hey God, I need your help. And it was through God that he got his toughness. It was through God that he got his strength at that point. It was through God that he said, I can keep on going in my life. Hey, Christian, where am I going to get my toughness at? I need to get it through the Lord in my life. Look to him. When you're left alone, it's time to tough it out. Hey, when people forsake you, it's time to tough it out. When people talk about you, it's time to tough it out still. It's not time to whine and complain. When people ridicule you, it's not time, oh, woe is me. It's time to tough it out. Grow some thick skin and just say, hey, I'm in it for the long time. I don't care. It's amazing how many give up, get offended, and quit because people turned against them or people let them down. Just quit trusting people and trust in the Lord. Praise God for good people that are around, but people are only people. We're all sinners. Truth of the matter is every single one of us is going to make mistakes in our life. So quit getting your eyes on people all the time and get your eyes on Christ and decide, if it's just me and me alone, I'm going to continue to tough it out and do what's right. Paul toughed it out when people were persuaded against him. Be of good courage. Be strong. Number two, there are times to be tough to take a rock. To take a rock. You say, what are you saying? The people of Lystra, you look at it, they began picking up stones and rocks. What did they do? What did they do? They chucked them at them. I don't know what would be worse, having bats chucked at you, Brother Kevin, or having rocks. I don't know. They were picking up these rocks, so they began chucking it at Paul. You ever have a rock chucked at you before? I have. You grow up with brothers that are older than you. You have all kinds of stuff chucked at you. I remember there was one time, we were having construction going on around our house, and they were digging the basements. I'm down, Sunday night after church, crawled down in one of these basements. It was all dirt, no cement at the time. And I don't know, I was like 7, 8 years old. I don't know what I was doing down there. I was just playing. It was dirt. You don't need anything else but dirt to play. All of a sudden, my brothers and their friends gather around the top. I felt like Joseph with all the brethren around there in the pit. And they start picking up dirt clods and chucking it down at their little brother inside the pit. I was waiting for the Ishmaelites to come along so I could be sold off and at least escape being killed in the pit there. And I got a nice shiner in the eye there. Cried to Mom. She saved me. Paul is there. They start picking up rocks, chucking rocks at Paul. He begins to get hit. Gets it in the head. I'm sure all over the body. Their argument went from verbal to now physical. Look at the verse. It says, in having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city. That word drew literally means they dragged him out of the city. They thought he was dead. He's like a dead corpse. And they're dragging him out of the city. Okay, let's get rid of this body here. The physical condition was such that they thought that there was no way he can even be alive. And the disciples, you read it in verse 20, the disciples are standing around poking him with sticks, wondering if the guy's alive or not. Is he blinking? I don't know. I think stinking Paul's dead. What's going on? Did they kill him all the way? And he's left for dead outside the city. But Paul, let me say this, Paul toughed it out when the rocks were being thrown. He didn't decide, it's time to run for my life, it's time to retreat, it's time to give up. Paul began to tough it out, or continued to tough it out, even in that time. You know, in life there's times when rocks are being thrown. There's times when it's not just a verbal attack on your life, but there's rocks being thrown. There's actual damage in your life that's being done. The fight is on, Christian. And the Christian needs to tough it out when the fight's on. The Christian needs to get tough. Christ took a cross for you. Are you not willing to take some rocks for him? He endured the cross for you. What, you're not really willing to take a rock? I'd imagine that's what's going through Paul's mind. You know what? Christ went to the cross for me. I can endure this. As he continues to preach as rocks are being thrown. Paul knew his fight was not with, catch this, the people that were throwing the rocks. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. He understood, hey, these are just pawns of the devil's game. I don't got to hate these people. Am I liking the rocks that are being thrown? Absolutely not. But my fight is not against these people. This is a devil working in my life to cause defeat in my life to get me to quit. Paul's fight was with the devil, and these devout Jews were only pawns of the devil. The people seemingly fighting against us in this life are not the real fight. Let me say the devil's a real fight. Make sure you remember that. As rocks are being thrown at your life, remember, hey, that's the devil really fighting me. That's not flesh and blood that I need to worry about. Hey, get tough when the words start flying. Get tough when the rocks start being thrown. Get tough when the battle is raging. I'm not looking to get hit by rocks. You're a dummy if you look to get hit by rocks. But it's inevitable as I try to dodge them that one or two are going to end up hitting me. Well, one's bound to hit me, so tough it out. Understand, I don't need to quit because a rock hit me. I don't need to quit because I got an attack. The real test of a soldier is what he does when the bullets start flying. All the training that goes on in the military before a guy goes into combat, it's all preparation. But the real test is when they get in that foxhole and real bullets start flying over the head. Now what are you going to do? Are you going to run, hide, or are you going to stick in the foxhole? Christian, the real test in your life is when the real bullets start flying. When the devil uses real rocks. When it's a real thing. Am I going to stick it out or am I going to tuck tail and hide? Am I going to stick with it or am I going to give up in my life because of it? Hey, it's not time to clam up. It's not time to quit in your marriage. It's not time to give up church. It's not time to stop fighting for your kids when the real bullets start flying. It's time to get tough. Hey, I'm talking about when you receive some critical news about your family. And it's some news that changes your whole life. And all of a sudden you're blown back by the news that you receive. And it's tough. It's hard. I'm talking about when the real bullets are flying. I'm talking about when some real devastation comes in your life. The devil's really working overtime on you. And you know it's tough. The devil's working on your marriage. The devil's working on your kids. You receive some bad news about something with your kids. And it hits home. When you feel like you just got that hit to the gut. And I don't know if I could take another one. That's when it's time to get tough. Tough to take some rocks. Be tough to take a rock. Number three, there are times to be tough to get back up. Look at Paul. He's tough to take some rocks, some attacks. Verse 19, they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, look at this. He's laying there for dead. It looks like the sucker's gone. He rose up and came into the city. Now, pardon me, this is just my imagination, but I can picture Paul laying there dead. Nick, come here, Noah. Can you act as a dead man for me? Go ahead. There you go. Great dead man. I can picture the disciples standing around and they got their stick. Is he really dead? His eyes aren't moving. And he's a mangled, bloody piece of meat there. I've never seen anybody stoned. They don't do that a whole lot today, in today's day and time. But I can imagine what it looks like after somebody's been hit with rock after rock after rock. Mangled piece of meat laying there. There's no way. He didn't make it. Oh, poor Paul. He was a good one. All of a sudden, Paul opens his eyes, and he starts getting up. Whoa, look at Paul. What's going on with Paul? He's getting up. Holy cow, look at him. And he begins to walk back to the city, not just get up, but he says, okay, I'm going back to the city now. Paul, how are you even walking right now? When Paul got knocked down, it wasn't the end for him. He decides, I'm getting back up. Hey, it's not over because I got knocked down on the ground. There's still more to life. No, you could get back up. Thank you, sir. And there's Paul getting up and going back home. Hey, just because you get knocked down doesn't mean it's time to quit and give up in life and say, woe is me. It's time to say, hey, I'm going to tough it out and I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep going. Tough it out to get back up. The just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know why I believe the man was just? Because he got back up. There's going to come times in your life where you fall. You're a Christian and you're human. There's going to come times where you fall. There's going to come times where people push you down. They throw a rock at you. You end up on the ground. But are you going to get back up? Are you going to tough it out? The problem is not that you got knocked down. The problem is that you didn't get back up. That's when you run into a problem. Too many pansy Christians get knocked down and then they surrender and stay down. Oh well. They get knocked down in their marriage. Oh well, I'm going to give up. They get knocked down in their parenting. Oh well. They get knocked down in their church. Oh well. Don't be a pansy Christian that says, oh well. You realize when the devil gives you that punch to the face and he knocks you down, if after that first time getting knocked down you say, oh, I don't know, I don't know if I could get up, and you stay down, the next time the fight comes around, it's that much easier to stay down the next time. And the next time after that, it's that much easier. Every time you got to say, I'm getting back up. I'm not letting the devil win this one. I'm not letting him have this one. I got to get back up. I got to tough it out. There's more work to be done. Oh, what does it take to knock you down and keep you down, Christian? What does it take for the devil to bring in your life to knock you down and keep you down on the ground? The Christian needs that spirit of, hey, nothing in my life is going to knock me down. Nothing in my marriage is going to knock me down and keep me down. Nothing in my home is going to knock our home down and keep us down. Yeah, it might get me on my back once, but I'm getting right back up. The reason Christians fall into that pit of depression from the devil is because after a good hit, they tell themselves, I can't do it. I can't do it another time. Yes, you can. Tough it out. The great coach Vince Lombardi says, it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up. That determines success in your life. Because you can mark it down. You're going to get knocked down. Are you going to get back up, though? Tough it out. Get back up. Last one. There are times to be tough to continue forward. Verse number 20, look at it. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, and it continues on. Paul not only got up to live another day, but he gets up to say, I got to go continue to preach on. I got to continue on in my life. Hey, there's too much to be done. There's so many times we say, I can't do church, this ailment, that ailment. I can't serve God, this reason, that reason. I got offended, this person, that person. Paul was turned on. He was stoned. He got knocked down. He was left for dead. And then he rose back up. He said, I'm going to continue to preach. Why don't you just continue on? Just say, hey, no, there's too much. There's too much to get offended and quit. There's too much to get hurt and say, that's enough. What's our excuse? Paul, I look at Paul's life. Here's what nailed me. I see what Paul went through. Left for dead, and then he gets back up and says, nope, I got to still preach tomorrow. What's my excuse? Get discouraged, get frustrated, hard times. I don't think it measures up to what Paul went through yet. I don't think it measures up to what Christ went through yet. Paul, you should take some time off. Paul, worry about mending your wounds. Don't worry about preaching. No, boys, too much to be done for the Lord to give up and just quit. Too much for the Lord to be done, to just sit idly by. Tough it out in life and continue to go forward for God in your life. Look at verse number 22. Look at what he says here, and we mentioned it at the beginning. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, not a choice, must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You know what I love about Paul? He preached, and he preached strong, but he practiced what he preached. Because he gets up and he goes on to Derbe and he begins to preach in Derbe. And they see a work done there and he goes back to Lystra, where he was just left for dead. And he says, okay, Christians, come around here for a second. I was just stoned here not too long ago. But to be honest with you, tribulation is going to come in your life too. And when tribulation comes in your life, just like I got through it, I toughed it out, and I continued on to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christian, you're going to have to tough it out in your life as well. And man, that brought some weight behind it after seeing Paul stoned and then get back up and continue to preach. There was no, oh, I don't know. No, we saw it. They saw it. Do you see that in Paul's life tonight? Can I say, Christian, tough it out. Dad, tough it out. Hey, Mom, tough it out. Don't be thin-skinned. Hey, teenager, tough it out. Live right. You say it's tough to live for God in 2016. Yeah, it's always been tough. Tough it out. It was tough back in the Garden of Eden. Tough it out. Tough it out. Hey, Christian, it's not time to get offended. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to say, woe is me. Everybody must feel bad for me. It's time to say, hey, it's tough times, and it's time, about time, that I get tough too. Christian, are there things going on in your life that you thought, well, I don't know. I don't know if I could put on with this any longer. Maybe I'll just throw in the towel on this one. Are there some circumstances in your life the devil's really attacking? Some rocks are being thrown in your life. You see it. Have you already determined, I'm going to tough it out? Have you already determined in your life, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up, I'm going to stay in there no matter what happens? Are you going to quit or are you going to continue forward? We have enough that already get offended, that can't take the heat. We're the Pauls that say, hey, I don't care thick or thin, I'm just going to tough it out. The ones that take a licking and keep on ticking. Hey, that's what we need. That's what Christ wants in our lives. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.